Now, before we get into our study in the third chapter of the book of James, I'm going to take a one-lesson detour today to take a look at the Bible and get a more detailed answer to the question that was discussed last week. And the question that the book of James prompts us to ask, and our brother asked this last week, is the question, what are good works? Now, if we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and that's a stupendous idea, isn't it? It's a wonderful mission that God has given to us to be created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we know that to be the case, so we should know what good works are so as to ensure that we do what God has placed us here to do. You know, you say to yourself, what is God's will for me? Well, it's right there. God's will for you is to do good works. If he says that you're created for this purpose, then that's what you're supposed to do. And I think a lot of us, or a lot of the church, has forgotten that. But James provides us a few examples of good works. One, the visiting of the fatherless and the widows who are afflicted, and the provision of a coat and food to brothers and sisters who are destitute. Now, these are simply examples. They are not the sum total of good works, but they help us by providing us some examples that portray the stretching out of hands for the benefit of others. If you want to generalize those things, you can generalize it that way. The helping of others, the stretching out of hands to others. But James simply uses these examples to sharpen our iron regarding this subject. You know, iron sharpens iron. You can sharpen someone else. The question sharpened me. And we can sharpen our iron further, of course, as we rightly divide the Word of God and knowing that no Scripture is to stand alone, but we are to study all Scripture to know fully what good works God is expecting of us. Now, of course, as in all else of our spiritual life, the great example of good works is found in our blessed Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that we are to look to if we desire to know about good works. For even as a young boy, Jesus told his parents, "I must be about my Father's business," and that business was good works. You know, the work that he did on the cross for you was his finest good work. And that's what we depend upon. When confronted by the Jews, John records his words in John 10:32, where he says to the Jews, "Many works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" My, what sharp words, what penetrating words to the heart. When Peter saw a salvation work take place on Gentiles in Joppa, he recalled to them in Acts 10:38, the good works of Christ. where he said this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now notice that precedent there. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, and then he went about doing good. That's the process. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice that the result of God's anointing of Jesus was evidenced in going about doing good and healing. That's evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Now, good works in Scripture are also called good fruits. And when we get into chapter 3 of James, we will meet verse 17, which says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The message that accompanied baptism by John the Baptist was to bring forth fruits, meet, the word meet, or it means suitable for repentance. In other words, there is that which follows repentance, which reveals true repentance, and that is good works. In other words, you have repented. Now, therefore, go out and do good works that will follow true repentance. Paul told the Philippians in 1:11 that they were to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Notice in that verse that the fruits come, the good works come, because of Jesus Christ. He is the head, and we are the body. Have you ever seen a body live without the head? Have you ever seen a hand grasp a tool without the head? It is an immutable law that the physical body can do nothing without the physical head. And so it is in the spiritual, as we are told in John 15, 4 and 5, the branch can do nothing without the vine. Jesus said this to his disciples, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, connection then to Jesus Christ is paramount in the production of fruit that pleases God. You know, the Bible says, even the plowing of the wicked is sin. Why? It's not done to the glory of God. For all pleasing fruit is produced in us by God through our connection to Jesus Christ. The vine does not produce visible fruit, but visible fruit comes from the branch and is only possible because of its connection to the vine. Isaiah told us from where our works come from in the Old Testament in 6:12. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. They come from God. And in the New Testament, it is said in this way in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He is the vine, we are the branches. It is paramount that we are connected to the vine. Now, God does not leave us on our own as to how to do good works, for his word is given to us to furnish us with all that we need. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, all of us have gone to school for one period or another, and we've gone to school that we might be thoroughly furnished unto some vocation or some profession. But the Bible tells us that the profession of good works, we are thoroughly furnished by the Bible, by the scriptures, that is given by inspiration of God. But also remember that the fruit of the Spirit is given that your good works will be performed according to God's specifications. You know, God has specifications by which he wants your good works to be done. You are to follow those specifications. The fruit of the Spirit is not your work. The fruit of the Spirit is God's work in you. And that fruit is given to you that you do good works as Jesus Christ would have done good works. As I said, the fruit of the Spirit is not your work. It's the fruit of God. It's God's work in you that you may do his work in accordance with his specifications. Now, the Spirit's good work in you, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, are not given to you to lie fallow, but are given to you to do indeed, do good works, as Christ would do good works. The fruits of the Spirit is like having the box of tools with which God expects you to accomplish good works in Christ Jesus. You are to reach in that box of tools and exercise love and have joy and have peace and long-suffering and so on in order to do the good works of Jesus Christ. For all of our works, according to Galatians 3:17, are to be done in Christ's name. We read that where it says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You are to do your good works as if Christ were doing those good works. We are to follow the example of God in that we are his workmanship. We are the fruit of his work, and therefore, as he bears fruit, we are also to bear fruit. Ephesians 2:10 tells us this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, a walk is a way of life. This describes a way of life, the performance of good works for God is to be a way of life. And according to Colossians 3:12 through 14, that walk will be walked in a holy and beloved manner. It is walked accompanied by mercy. It is walked accompanied by kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, and forgiveness, all moved by love. By the example of a disciple named Tabitha, as reported by Luke in Acts 9:36, we are to be full of good works. For her life was one of alms deeds, which are acts of compassion toward the poor. We have already read in John 15, where we are taught that those who abide in Christ will bear much fruit. According to Titus 2:14, we are to be zealous of good works. And by 1 Timothy 6:18, we are told to be rich in good works. Again, Titus tells us to maintain good works. Thessalonians tells us to be established in every good work. Colossians tells us we are to be fruitful in every good work. Hebrews tells us to be perfect in every good work. And it also tells us to provoke each other to every good work. In other words, we're to kick each other sometimes to get out and do some good work. Provoke. Timothy tells us to be prepared unto every good work. Perhaps you need to go to school for some good work. Perhaps you need to read some book for some good work. Perhaps you need to get more into the scriptures to perform some good work. And Corinthians tells us to abound in every good work. What's the message of the scripture? The message is to be busy about the Father's business. Jesus Christ was careful to tell us in Matthew to avoid a showy display of good works, for he told us to take heed that ye do not your alms before men. Now, the good works of women are described in 1 Timothy, for holy women will be reported of their good works in bringing up children. That's a good work, rearing your children for God. What better work is that? Being hospitable by lodging strangers, opening up your doors and lodging strangers, feeding strangers. Can they do anything for you? No, but you can do something for them. Washing the saints' feet. What a ministry. Relieving the afflicted. That's what holy women are described as doing. Nehemiah knew that good works were remembered by God, for in 13:14 he pleaded, "Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof." We're not to make a showy display of our good works for others, but God notes our good works. He remembers our good works, as Nehemiah asked him to do. And the writer of Hebrews also reminded us that God remembers our good works. as we read in Hebrews 6, 9 and 10. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Aren't we glad that God remembers? You know, we may get old, and we can't remember where we put our glasses. We can't remember what we're doing in the closet. We can't remember why we're on our way to the kitchen. But God remembers. Aren't you glad that God remembers? I would hate to live this life serving the Lord and God forgets. God forgets. But also in this memory of God, our works will be judged, whether good or evil. Ecclesiastes 12:14 tells us this, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And then in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And in the judgment, good works will be evidence of faith. Christ talked about this in Matthew 25, 34 through 40. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, with probably a surprise on their face, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee?" And the king shall answer, and shall say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Isn't that a wonderful promise of the Lord Jesus Christ? So the doing of good works is to result in glory to God. Jesus told us this when he told us he was the vine and we are the branches of John 15:8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." How are you to be a disciple of Christ? By bearing much fruit, by doing good works, by doing that which you were created in Christ Jesus to do. That will bring glory to God. And those good works are to lead others to glorify God. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And in 1 Peter 2:12, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." And with the doing of good works comes personal blessing to those that do them, as we have learned already in our study of James 1:25. And whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, we've gone through this analysis of the scripture regarding good works, and I think we can conclude that good works are works done in Christ Jesus. They are done for Christ Jesus. They are done in Christ's stead as his body. And they are works that are benefit to others, done in Jesus' name, and that the results of those works will bring glory to God. They are not works done to bring benefit to ourselves. They are not quid pro quo works, this for that works. They are works done with the tools that the Spirit gives you to use. They are done with love. They are done in joy. They are done with peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. When they are done in the Spirit, they will be done in the name of Jesus Christ. We are to do good works in the Spirit. Now, what are the good works done by this local church? What does this part of the body of Christ accomplish for God that brings glory to God? What are the good works that you do on a personal level apart from this church body? Now, we have seen from Scripture that visiting the sick, the fatherless, and the widows in their affliction, lodging strangers, bringing up children, meeting personal needs of the saints, relieving the afflicted, providing clothes and food to the destitute, all done in the name of Christ Jesus, are good works. But these are just some examples. What about the good work of providing to children a Christian school with God-fearing teachers? What about the good work of providing a place and a preacher where the gospel can be proclaimed and the Bible taught in Sunday school? What about the good work of lending your ears to the preaching of the Bible and reigning in your mind so that a transaction of mind can take place? What about the good work of those who play instruments in the church service or use their voices in song for the glory of God? What about the good work of congregational singing that is to bring glory and praise to our Father? What about the good work of faithful attendance in every service of this church so that you may be helped in your preparation for every good work? What about those behind the scenes that provide for our sound systems, that provide for our meals from the kitchen, that provide for the cleanliness of God's buildings and campus, those who labor in our offices and our classrooms? What about the good work, year after year, of sending missionaries to many lands so that others who will never know of this church's good works can hear of the good news of Jesus Christ? What about the good work of providing good, clean recreation to the community through the sports program. Think also of the good works that are done by sending out biblical materials for children and adults, which will help those who teach and train others in the things of the Lord. What about the good work of visiting the old folks in their last home? Old folks who are totally incapable of returning anything to this church. What about the good work of helping a brother build a house for himself and his family? What about the good work of sending a letter to a loved one, a letter of witness of God's goodness in providing a wonderful Savior? What about being sensitive to the needs of those in your own neighborhood or work site and lending a hand in their lives so that God will be glorified and His light shine so that darkness is dispelled? What about the good work of a husband loving his wife and seeing that his children are trained up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? What about the good work of a faithful wife who day after day, year after year, keeps her home clean and orderly so that her family can have a place of peace? You know, you ladies, every time you fold the underwear, put them in the drawers or the shelves, it's a good work. Glorify God with that good work. You know, I've heard, and you have heard, that if you don't do such and such, and fill in the blank, you are not a good Christian. If you do not witness to a dozen people a day, you're a failure in the Lord's eyes. If you do not preach on the street corner, you don't have any good works to your credit. But these are man's words, spoken by some man who wishes to use you for his benefit. These are not God's words. Every part of the body of Christ is not an arm. Some of us are arms. Some of us are toes. Some of us may be the strong back. But none of us are every part of the body. But each part is to function for the benefit of the body and do its part, for no part of the body is purposeless. Are you ready to shed a part of your body? Are you ready to pronounce a part of your body as not fit for the body? For every part of the body has purpose. You know, David saw to it that the reward given to those who stayed by the stuff was to be no different than the reward given to those that went down to the battle. Remember that story? Some said, "We went to the battle. We should get more than those folks that stayed by the stuff. We put our lives on the line." But David said, "No, they stayed by the stuff. We went to the battle, but they performed their duties as we performed our duties." And he said they should get equal reward. Now, God has given you His word, and His word is for you to let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your God which is in heaven. Your good works are not to lift you up, but are to be done so that God is glorified. And therefore, we are to do them in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is accomplished by using the tools that Jesus Christ gives you in His Word. The fruit of the Spirit is not given to you that you might simply rejoice in the fruit, but is given to you to perform that for which you have been created in Christ Jesus, good works. So that's what good works are, and I trust that we will take from this an invigorated mind as to doing good works, because they're so important in God's eyes, for that's why He created you in Christ Jesus. Why are you here? Why hasn't God plucked you from this earth? Because He's expecting good things out of you. He's expecting good things out of me. Father, we are so thankful that Your Word gives us that which we need. Lord, we need to be encouraged. We need to be moved to do what You have called us to do. And that we ought to have a way of life about this, not just a one-time thing during the week, but a way of life, for we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Do bless our pastor as he speaks to us this morning. May we be prepared to go out and do that which You've called us to do. For we ask it in Christ's name, amen.